7 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Very excited about this next guest. Had the chance to talk to him a couple of weeks ago. Of course, see him at CSU's Media Day. Scott Patch, and Colorado State Rams defensive end, who is on watch list after watch list, preseason All-Mountain West team. It's exciting times for this Rams team, especially on that defensive line. Scott, my friend, great to get you on the program. We've been wanting to do it for a while.
Thank you for having me. Excited to answer any questions you got for me.
I'm going to grill you, man. No. We'll have some fun, man. You're a week away. A week away, finally. It's crept up on us, but at the same time, it feels like forever.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just the anticipation has been building over the entire summer and off season. So, you know, man, just excited for it to be here, excited to finally be in the trenches with my guys, excited to finally get this thing going and get the season rolling.
Now, you know, this defensive line, we've paid a lot attention to the D-line. Of course, the offensive line, too. You guys have been going at it in fall camp, making each other better. But there's certainly a buzz around this defense for CSU. And that, Scott, that's not always been the case around Colorado State over the years. We started to get some samples of that last season in the short season. But make no mistake, I mean, fans out there are talking up this defense and specifically this defensive line.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it happens when you get a little bit of taste of success, you know, and we had a little bit of that as a defensive line unit last year, obviously, as you just mentioned. Just mainly going forward, just looking to build on that, you know. I can't really, you know, explain on that more so, you know. I feel like we can't buy into, you know, or take the cheese, as anybody would like to say. You know, we just got to continue to do, put in the effort, put in the work, and, you know, let the cards fall where they will.
I'm talking to Scott Patchen, Colorado State Rams defensive line. Week away from that first game against South Dakota State. And boy, that's going to be a fun night. Friday night. I ask everybody this because I want to get your take, because some people differ in this. Are you cool with the Friday night thing? Or are you like, hey, no, we're in college. We want to do Saturday.
You know, I used to have an opinion, but, you know, now that I'm not a guy that's in-person classes, I'm an online student, you know, in my master's program, so
yeah.
I've got no care in the world. You tell me when I'm going to play and I'll line up.
I love it, man. Scott, tell our listeners your master's. I love when people listen. What are you wrapping up? What are you focusing on?
All right, so I'm getting my master's in sports management, and I'm focusing in business with it. So it's going to be an MSM, master's in sports management. Yeah, it's going to be an MSM, I believe.
Awesome, man. Well, congratulations on all your success there. And again, your success from last season and over your college career. You have a solid relationship with Coach Adazi. You've had one for quite some time. Your family has a great relationship. Can you elaborate a bit about that relationship on the side of with your head coach, Steve Adazi?
Oh, yeah, I love Coach Adazi. Obviously, he was the big main attraction to me coming to CSU. Without him, I wouldn't be here. I would not be in the position I'm in, you know, along with Coach Heater and Coach Antoine Smith, who I've built, you know, such a great relationship with. That was a match made in heaven, to be honest with you. And I don't know if Coach Adazi planned that or not or knew that, but, you know, me and Coach Smith, we hit it off from day one, and, you know, he's just probably, you know, the person I'm most excited to talk to every day in the building, you know, because I'm on the same page as him, and he knows exactly where I stand on everything. So that part's awesome. But, yeah, I've known Coach Adazi since, you know, I was a really young kid. He recruited my older brother Matt to Florida, and then he took a Temple job for a year or two, and then he ended up at BC. When he went to BC, that was my brother Matt's last year at Florida, and he used his last year of eligibility to go to Boston College and spend it that year. That was the year they had, I believe it was Andre Williams, who was the Heisman Trophy candidate. My brother Matt was blocking for him. I think he was like a left tackle or right tackle, one of those positions for that team. And so they thrived in the run game there. But obviously when you recruit a guy and you bring a guy in, you know, you build that relationship with him, the family. My family loves Coach Adazi. I remember the in-home visit. He hopped in the kitchen with mom, and he started cooking and that was back when Matt was being recruited. And, you know, coming out of high school when I was being recruited, BC was easily number two for me. The only thing that made me not want to even consider BC, though, is because I was committed to Miami at the time, but it was brother Matt's senior night game at BC.
Oh,
so we
man.
Fly out there. And I'm out, and me and my dad went and watched his Friday night little walkthrough, and it was cold. You know, it was probably like 30, 40, you know. And I just remember he looked over and he goes, "We can tell who the Florida boy is because I'm layered up on the bench. When are we going inside? I don't want to be out in the cold." And That was probably the moment I realized, and he probably realized, he ain't coming to BC.
Well, Colorado's nice because, I mean, you're going to get some cold days, but you're going to get some pretty okay days, too, throughout the course of the season.
Oh, yeah. You know, and then being an 18-year-old and picking between, you know, the beaches in Miami,
right,
or, you know, cold Boston weather, I mean, like, it was a no-brainer for the 18-year-old in me. But, I mean, you know, looking back on it, if I could do it over again, you know, I don't regret the Miami decision, but knowing what I know now, I would have went to BC easily.
Can't blame you, man. Can't blame you, though, on the weather side of it. I mean, who in the heck would blame you for that? Even with the great relationship. All right, so you've got this great relationship with Coach Addazio. I was thinking of this the other day. Just randomly hit my mind because a Billy Joel song came on, and I remember him and the assistant coaches singing the Colorado State of Mind thing, the video that was posted. Remember that, Colfax? The video that was posted all over the place. What did you think of coaches singing?
Coach has got a little bit of soul, you know. Let me tell you, he's got a little bit of soul, and gotta tell you, he impressed me. I didn't expect that out of him, but it was good. He surprises me every day, you know. That's one of them.
Do you guys ever ask him, "Hey, we're feeling a little down in the dumps. Can you bring out a little Billy Joel, or is that, you know, that was a one time thing? We're not asking again."
I think that was a one-time thing. I don't think he's going to do that again.
All right, so when we talk to Coach, and again, coaches are always, we always know this, right? Coaches are just different with players. Coach is very much, you know, He's going to inspire you. He's going to give you some mix of coach speak, but he's going to lay some truthful nuggets in there. What are those conversations like with you personally? Because we've heard so many players say, "Man, I tell you what, this guy, we're close to this guy. He is just really an understanding type coach." And when you hear that sometimes, right, where a coach is one way with the media, he's another way with his team.
I mean, yeah, Coach Addazio, he's not, you know, hiding anything. He's going to shoot you straight. You know, he's never going to lie to you. He's going to give you his honest opinion every time. And that's honestly what you want, you know, from a parent figure, you know, coach, you know, someone that's going to give you advice in this world. You want them to shoot you straight. That's why, you know, when I was making my decision to come back, I was, you know, it was family, it was Coach Smith, and it was Coach Addazio. That group of people really helped me, you know, make my decision. And I trusted them, and I trusted their opinions, and I trust their knowledge. You know, they've been in this game longer than I've been alive. So you want that from a coach. And honestly, a head coach I trusted was one of the, you know, things I was looking for when I was transferring. It was on my list. You know, I had a great position coach, someone's going to teach me all phases of the game, and a head coach I could trust. I mean, I wouldn't be here if I didn't trust Coach Addazio. And that's one of his biggest philosophies, is love and trust. You got to be able to love and trust your players, you know, just as much as you got to love and trust your coaches. So it's a two-way street, and I mean, he knocks it out of the park with that. And the ability to coach your players hard but love them even harder is the philosophy that they stand by, and the rest of the coaching staff as well. So that's huge on his end. And I couldn't, you know, like you said, Coach Addazio, there's some coach speak, and then there's some, you know, motivation. And I think it's every day he makes me want to run through a wall.
I mean, I can't blame you. I joke about it all the time, but I'm not kidding you. When I talk to him on the phone, or when we were in person with him the other day down in Denver, I get that feeling. And I'm not a big giant man like you are, Scott. I feel like I could do, you know, some push-ups and some crazy lifting suddenly. But I can't imagine the motivation factor that comes into play for you guys.
Oh, yeah, he's big when it comes to that now, you know. And sometimes he keeps it short and sweet, you know. And he's good about reading the room in that regard, you know. I really believe that, you know. Sometimes he can talk if he wants to talk, or he can, you know, keep it short. And it's all about, you know, what he feels is best for us as far as the motivational aspect and coach speak, you know. And if something's on his heart, you know, he always tells us how he feels, you know, and where his mind's at, you know, and the plan moving forward as far as, you know, if it was days during camp, what his idea was looking for as far as us going, you know, a certain day, you know, full pads, shells, helmets, trying to take care of us, get our legs back, et cetera, all those things. He is a very good coach at communicating with his players, so we're not left out in the dark. I know a lot of coaches out there, you know, they try to keep things a secret for whatever reason, you know, so players are left on the edge of their seat and they're never comfortable, because, you know, that's probably a coaching style. If you have players that are always ready, then you never have to get them ready. But he's really good about, as far as, you know, keeping that line of communication open. You know, his office is always open, and I just think he's tremendous in that regard.
And that's interesting too, because you say that, but you've heard cases throughout the country sometimes where maybe a coach says that, but it's not always that open, and players leave and they're frustrated. And that's got to be an important thing for you and for any player to be able to know, hey, I can go one-on-one with this coach. There's a lot of football players on that roster, but to be able to really feel that and know that you can go to your head coach, that's got to be a luxury, because I'm not saying every coach is not like that, but you've heard some stories where this guy's all football all the time, and it must be nice to have a guy like that.
Yeah, it's nice to have a guy that you can joke with, and, he can make you the best football player that you can be with, as far as your skill set and what it allows you to do, So I think he's tremendous in that regard. I can joke with him about, authentic Italian food at Olive Garden, and he'll, tell me I'm acting like an idiot,
Okay, so coach has got, he knows his way around some Italian food, is that right?
Oh, easily, and there was one day I think I showed up and I was like, coach, man, I tried this really good Italian place, and he's like, oh, I don't know if there's any good Italian place that's close to here. Where'd you go to eat, and then I hit him with, this place, Endless Breadsticks, coach. It's really good. And I got him on the edge of his seat, and then I land him with all of them. He goes, oh, you're such an idiot.
I love that, man. Has he tried? I'd be curious. Has he ever been there before?
He probably has. He was younger.
We're going to have to find a place for him, man. That's going to be a mission. We got to find a spot for him that's Adazio approved.
that's got the Coach A stamp of approval.
I think so. It could be like reviewing restaurants. Hey, okay, a couple months ago, before you guys got knee deep into fall camp, I saw the pictures. You guys, the defensive line with Coach Smith. I was talking to Ellison Hubbard about it. You guys went out boating and you ordered like 30 pizzas from Crazy Carl's Pizza. That I love those things, man. Don't you? Just that's a team building and especially a unit building kind of philosophy.
Oh, it was a fun day, and it's not just, like once a, summer we do something like that. Like Coach Smith, he's always feeding us. He's always doing extra stuff for us. I mean, early in the summer we went bowling. He had us over his house, and he has us over his house all the time, to feed us and everything like that. I can't tell you the amount of times Coach Smith is pouring into us whenever he gets the opportunity, And to be honest with you, that's just an awesome aspect of it, He really loves us, and he wants us to be the best we can be, And he pushes us hard, but he loves us up even harder, And I feel like, if you can't appreciate the head coach, then you probably just don't have, you're probably either a young guy who hasn't been through it rough, to where you didn't feel that from a coach, or you're just being delusional with yourself, That's a guy that cares about you, at the end of the day.
So you guys bowled a little bit, and I agree. I think he's a great guy, and the guys talk so highly of him. Who's the best bowler on the defensive line?
Oh, it's me. It's me.
Better. Okay, I'm going to ask. We got Ellison coming in on Monday. I'm going to ask him too. So Ellison would agree.
Well, I see. Here's the thing. We went bowling as a team, right? And I had to leave early because the bowling was going on too late, and I had plans already that day. But I had beaten everybody in my little round, and I was actually supposed to play. Who was it? I think it was either Coach Smith or Frank Leonard, one of the two. And I forget what happened, but I had to leave early, and so I let Sion take my place. But I had out, bowled everybody, that I'd gone against.
No, we might have to set up like another rematch at some point too. Like sell tickets and everything. We could make this a big thing.
I mean, I'm down. I just don't know if anybody, there may be some better bowlers on this team than me, and I probably just didn't play against them. But that's, I mean, when it all mattered the most, I was in the championship game,
That's true. If you get there, you get there, and that speaks for itself. Scott Patchen joining us, Colorado State Rams defensive lineman. Scott, of course, there's a couple of players on this team that are on these watch lists. We're talking about the next level, Trey McBride, Ryan Stonehouse, and of course yourself. Talking to you at Media Day a couple of weeks ago, you had mentioned, hey, I came back for a couple of reasons, but one of those is I want to tweak a few things in my game. I want to give myself the best opportunity when it comes to the draft, when it comes to that next level.
Yeah, and I really stand by that. You don't come back just to come back. You come back to better yourself in some way, shape, or form, So that being, my reason for coming back, I wanted to make myself more valuable, So what is that? I want to be a more all-around player, and more consistent in the run game and in the pass game. And I wanted to prove I could do it over 12 games and not just 4 games. And so people couldn't question it anymore, That's kind of where I stood.
Yeah, no question about it. And I know a lot of you guys talked about, hey, we want to get back here. We've unfinished business, you know. And I think it was big last year, beating Wyoming, of course. That was something that fans really wanted to see, was beating a rivalry team. It'd been a few years, a rivalry game, I should say. It'd been a few years. So I know that was a big boost for Rams Nation out there. And you guys have all kind of talked about, hey, we want to set the table now for Rams teams to come. And this is that opportunity. A lot of the upperclassmen saying the same thing is, hey, we want to get this thing on the right track before we move on.
Absolutely. You know, a guy who used to say that all the time at Miami was Brad Kaya. You know, leave the place better than you found it, you know. And that really resonated with me, you know, for the most part, when he used to say that all the time at Miami. And honestly, I hope I just leave this place better than I found it. Absolutely. You know, I hope a part of the, you know, culture change, you know, where guys, you know, just really buy in and believe in all the coaching and all the, you know, pointers that you're given every single day. And they live by that, you know, because it's just great qualities to live your life like. You know, you don't want to be a slow demeanor guy. You don't want to be a guy that's like lackadaisical. You want to be an urgent guy. You know, that applies to regular day life too, outside of football. But, you know, I hope that, you know, I can absolutely leave this place better than I found it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see this season get underway next Friday night, South Dakota State. And we've all said it a million times, it's an FCS team, but you can't overlook them. They're the cream of the crop when it comes to the FCS. So I know that that's not even registering in your brain. You guys are just thinking, how do we jump out the gates and start 1-0?
Absolutely. You know, the goal is 1-0, but you got to break it down to each, you know, individual play. You know, this is a good team we're playing. I don't think, you know, people are talking about them enough, but this is, you know, a very good team we're playing. And obviously you go into a game and you respect every opponent, because if you don't, that's when mistakes can happen and you're overconfident and you're not prepared. But, you know, this is a good team we're playing. I give them tremendous respect. You know, they already have tremendous respect for me. You know, and I know a lot of the guys on our team are believing that. So we've got a tough game ahead of us, and we just got to really, you know, dig in and get ready for, you know, a dogfight.
Now, Canvas Stadium. Again, we're seeing reports, and you never know what's going on in the state of South Dakota, of course. But as of right now, we know they're still set to be full attendance, or people can go to these games and watch them. And hopefully that's not going to be something that's in the back of our minds throughout the course of the season. But assuming everything is a go, how cool is that going to be, man, just to get fans back out there in that gorgeous stadium?
Oh, it's going to be huge. You know, you miss the atmosphere. You know, you miss fans yelling and cheering when big plays are being made. And, you know, that's why we play the game. You know, if there was no fans, no one would care. No one would watch. You know, at the end of the day, it'd just be a recreational sport, you know, probably in a less, you know, extravagant stadium, if I'm being honest with you. But,
yeah.
I mean, so that's just the best part about it, the best aspect. And I'm excited to have all the fans back in there and finally see what a filled up stadium can look like here at Canvas Stadium.
Scott Patch, and last one for you. We had Ryan Stonehouse on a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him if he had any, like, hidden talents or anything, and he sent me, like, this mansion that he built. He said, like, this barbecue, man. He's, like, he's a builder. Do you have any of those hidden talents that a lot of people don't know about you?
I wouldn't say hidden talents. I can juggle. That's pretty much it.
I mean, I've tried to. The only thing I could juggle was in PE when we did those little, you know, those little light scarves thing that were like tissue. I could do that. But once we actually tried with the actual juggling balls, couldn't make it happen, man. So, I mean, my hat's off to you, my friend.
Appreciate it. I'm no. Yeah, I'm not building crazy, you know, places like Stonehouse.
I thought, like, okay, he said he built a barbecue and like a whole thing around it. I'm thinking, oh, okay, he just kind of made this whatever, like an Eeyore lean to type deal. No, it looks like $1 million. I was amazed by that, but definitely don't have that. I can't even put Legos together. So,
no, it's insane what he did out there, for sure.
No doubt, Scott, my friend, love catching up with you. Would love to make this a kind of a thing throughout the course of the season. I'm a big fan, and we cannot wait to see you guys in action next week.
I appreciate you having me on. Look forward to it again. And, you know, go Rams. See you guys all out there next week.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. That's Scott Patchen, Colorado State Rams defensive lineman, going up against South Dakota State next Friday night. Now, again, we did want to make that known. What we tweeted out, I don't want to bring the news up. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. But South Dakota is experiencing a major COVID outbreak. And, well, and again, that's according to some reporters that are writing that. Tomorrow's volleyball match between UNC, the Bears, and USD has now been canceled due to COVID protocols. And so now you're wondering, okay, Should we be monitoring this going forward with CSU football opening against South Dakota State on September 3rd? Makes me sick to my stomach. 25 minutes after the hour, we'll take a break. We will recharge it. Come back with a Football Friday. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
You know today destroys a night.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Gerard under pressure again, brought down again. Bridgewater steps up, completes it. Into the open field, Jerry Jeudy.
I'm going to get better. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to bring energy to this team.
There wasn't a lot of separation.
It's getting real feisty out here. We love to see it.
Now, here's Brady Hall.
Football Friday, rocking and rolling. We do have college football that means something this weekend. We don't have local. We don't have Broncos regular season. We have some one more preseason game. They only did three. Kind of like it. But then we got a week off. What do we do with ourselves? No preseason, no regular season. The Broncos will have a chance to get geared up for that Giants opening game. And I'm telling you, the pressure is on those first three games, whether it was Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock. Broncos have maybe, what, third easiest schedule in the league? So Denver's going to have to find a way, I think, to win those first three. Yeah, the pressure is going to be on Teddy, but this is not about Teddy. This is not about Drew Lock. This team has been building defensively, I would say, for the past few years. Last year in the draft, they definitely drafted for offense, but for the most part, through free agency and through the draft, Denver has been building defensively. And here we are now, looking at this depth chart, it's starting to take hold. When you have, you know, Draymond Jones, who Denver drafted a while back, now Mike Purcell as the nose tackle, Bradley Chubb, the controversial draft pick, guys that they've picked up in free agency, such as Kareem Jackson and Kyle Fuller. And you're hoping you can keep a guy like Bryce Callahan healthy, who they picked up in free agency. And then obviously Pat Surtain, Michael O.J. Mudiah, two guys that were drafted relatively high. Obviously Surtain was drafted at number nine. This team has been building the way of the defense, which is what I've always been a fan of. But I kind of like the opposite game sometimes when you hire a head coach. Build up on your defense and then hire an offensive mastermind. You know, I've always just kind of, you're going to go with a great defense and a defensive mastermind, and maybe your offense is just flat out overlooked. I think that the defense now has a lot of pressure. I think whether it was Drew or Teddy, again, but there is so much pressure on this defense to come up with not just stops, but field flipping type stops. You know, a big sack to force second and 16, and then another big play to keep it at third and 16, incomplete pass or something like that, force a bad punt or to flip the field. You're going to see a lot of that with Denver. Bottom line, Teddy Bridgewater is a game manager. I'm moving on. We're not talking about the competition. Now we can just tell you what it is. Your starting quarterback is Kyle Orton. I mean, essentially a little bit more mobile than Kyle Orton. That's where you are. This is what you're going with. A game manager. A guy that's not going to take too many chances. He's going to be instructed to just do Teddy-like things. And you know, that's going to be able to yield you some decent drives down the field. Where you got to be careful is if this defense isn't perfect. You know, if let's say the first quarter of the Giants game, you get a three and out, Broncos get the ball. They move down the field, they end up having to punt. Then you get another stop, the Broncos get the ball. They move down the field a little bit, they have to punt again. It's 0-0 at the end of first, whatever. And then suddenly defense can't hold up for one possession. Let's say Daniel Jones gets hot, rolls down, you're up 7-0. All right, now the Broncos getting out of their script a little bit, late second quarter, time for Teddy to to try to get it downfield a little bit more. You move down, you move down, you move down, punt the ball again. This is what he's historically done. Then your defense is going to need to make some big plays. This will happen, whether it's against the Giants, the Jags, the Ravens, what have you. Now, you might be arguing on the Drew Lock side of things. Well, wouldn't that same happen there? Or he's just going to take a chance and go deep downfield and throw an interception. Very well so. I'll tell you what. I'll give you this. Who do I want as my starting quarterback when the Broncos are up 10-0? I'll take Teddy. Who do I want as my starting quarterback when the Broncos are down 10-0? I'm going to go Drew. Because he's going to take chances. You know what? He might throw picks in the process. But Bridgewater's not been that kind of guy. He is a game manager. That's why this defense is going to have the utmost pressure on them this season, which I like, and I think they can handle it. I think this team has the pieces, and we've made the bizarre comparisons to the 2015 defensive roster. It wasn't that long ago this team had mediocre quarterback play and won a title. So it can happen again, and I really like flipping over on the offensive side. I love Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, and honestly, and I know Royce Freeman's in, is he on the bubble? Is he going to make this team? Mike Boone's out for a few weeks, right? So Royce has actually looked pretty good in the preseason. So I really hope they can find some room there for him. Offensively, you do have playmakers. Will Bridgewater, will anybody, any quarterback, would they have felt too much pressure to try to get these guys involved? Cortland Sutton is going to play a little bit Saturday. I was wrong on this. They are going to go with the starters to start this thing out. Coach McVay doesn't do that. He doesn't believe playing starters very much at all, really, throughout the preseason. But they are going to start with Teddy. Then you're going to see Drew. Then you're going to see Brett Rypien. And that, I mean, again, you're still going to watch that. If Teddy screws up, what happens then, right? Like, what happens if Teddy throws an interception? Drew comes out and plays well. Does Drew? No. It's over until the regular season. The competition was declared over until you get to the regular season, and if you see that that's ineffective, then that's what you do. But I think, again, I like the pieces on this team. Teddy will be a game manager. You can win several games like that. Can you win enough to be a playoff team without the defense coming up with something special? I think this defense can't just be a team that's getting stops. You're going to need to change the field. You're going to need to force quarterbacks, you know, be in positions where you can have Von Miller and Bradley Chubb pin their ears back with no concern, and they just go after the quarterback because it's second and long and you know what they're doing. It's third and long and you know what they're doing. And then putting pressure on the quarterback to the point where you can let these corners work. All of these guys can cover one-on-one. Ronald Darby, Bryce Callahan, Kyle Fuller, Pat Surtain, they can cover one-on-one. But it's going to be taking the chances. If you can get pressure, I mean, that's why this has the makeup of being a really potent defense, because on paper, Von Miller is a Hall of Famer. Does he still have that? We're going to find out. Bradley Chubb, he's been to a Pro Bowl, but he's never really realized his top five pick status just yet. And they're really like, I mean, they could have the best secondary in the league. Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson, I think you could make a case for the best safety duo. But defensively, mark my words, it's going to be on them to make some key plays, to get some interceptions, to force fumbles. And that's where you're going to see this team, I believe, mirror a lot of what we saw back in 2015. All right, we're going to take a short break. We're well over the clock. It is our Football Friday. Shout out to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service for being a sponsor of this program for quite some time now, man. We've loved working with them. And I'll tell you what. They're the only family-owned and operated funeral home in the Greeley-Evans area. Let the Mosier family help you through such a tough time. Their number is 970-330-6824. 38 minutes after the hour. When we come back, let's talk about, well, normally I'm going to be doing it this time, the next segment. Normally when we get in the season, I'm going to give you my big four picks, Broncos, Buffs, Rams, Bears. None of them are playing this weekend. So we're just kind of preview what their seasons look like and where we think they're going to finish as far as the records go. And then later on, I will give you my one lock of the weekend that you can take to the bank. 39 after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NoCo Now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. It is Football Friday on this 27th day of August. Next week, we really get into it. We'll have CSU, we'll have UNC and CU to talk about. But normally in this segment, third segment, we're going to break into the big four, my big four. You know, that's football teams that we cover closely. That's the Broncos, that's the Buffs, that's the Bears, that's the Rams. And I'll give you my picks each and every week. We're going against the, or with the spread, however you want to say it, so we'll be looking at that. But when you take a look at the schedules here, is this the bounce-back year for football? You know, starting with the Broncos, do they get into the playoffs? You know, you guys know my piece on this with Drew Lock and Bridgewater. However, I still think it was going to be the defense. It's going to be this a run game, just talented guys that have a lot of yak. You know, Jerry Jeudy taking a 4-yard, 5-yard pass, turning it to 9 yards, that kind of stuff. I think when you look at the schedule, it does lend itself to a Broncos playoff berth. First 3 weeks at New York Giants, at Jacksonville, home against the Jets. I think you got to go 3-0 there to start this thing off. Baltimore's tough. At Pittsburgh, that one's going to be interesting to see if they can beat Pittsburgh. Because, I mean, again, is Pittsburgh the 11-0 team that started last year, or is it the team that basically fizzled toward the end of the season? You go on down the list, Las Vegas, they could be improved, but that's home. At Cleveland, Cleveland could be tough. Washington, and then at Dallas, Philly, Chargers, at KC. You know, the AFC West games will be the most difficult for sure. But you got Detroit in there. You got Cincinnati in there. I think this team's looking at 9. You know, I'm not going to do 9 to 11. Yeah, I could definitely see this team getting 11 wins. And I think 11 is now the new 10. So you're looking at that. So I like that to turn around for the Broncos. And Vic Fangio saves his job one way or the other. Even though I disagreed with the quarterback battle. And is that with Teddy all the way through? Is that with average play from Teddy? Does Drew Lock get in at some point and help push this team over the edge? I think defensively this team will, that's going to be their bread and butter, coming up with game-changing plays. Like the Broncos, turn it around. You look at the UNC Bears starting their season off against Colorado next week. I don't think they win that game. Covering is going to be the big deal. I just don't see it. At Houston Baptist, home against Lamar. I don't know a lot about Houston Baptist. Don't know a lot about Lamar. And then you start your Big Sky Conference on September 25th against teams like Northern Arizona, Montana State. Listen, I'm hoping for a few wins here. I have no expectations for the UNC Bears. So I don't know that this is the year they get it on top. I know this was the year they certainly started to get some attention driven toward their program. And maybe that's the start. Colorado State starting off next Friday against South Dakota State. I think they win that game. I think they beat... You know, I think they have actually beat Vanderbilt, even though they're an SEC team. They're not a very good SEC team. I think they could start out the gates 3-1 or 2-2, something like that. Battle it out throughout the conference, get some wins. I could see this team getting back on the right track and getting to a bowl game. I think they win 6 at the very least. As for the Buffs, yeah, they beat UNC. Texas A&M, no, sorry. Minnesota, maybe. The Buffs, 4-2 last year. That was, you know, obviously a weird year. That was enough to get them in to the Alamo Bowl, right? That's tough for me to go, man. Are they 6? Can they win 6? I mean, I like Jerick Broussard, but Brennan Lewis is tough. This is the hardest one for me to pick. The most unsure of all of these teams. I'm very confident in the Broncos. I'm confident the Rams get into a bowl game. I'm unsure about UNC. I think you're hoping for a couple of wins, but the expectations aren't there. As for the Buffs, I'm going to go, I don't know much about your quarterback, and so I'm going to say, hey, I don't see a bowl season for you. I could see 4 to 5 wins to start this thing out. Well, get that one next Friday. 48 minutes after the hour, my lock of the week. I got one game for you coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on a Football Friday.
No Code Now keeps you up to speed on what's happening on a local level. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show, weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Almost wrapping up another week. Don't forget, Friday Night Football coming up tonight. Coverage starts at 6:30, kickoff just after 7 o'clock. Clark Johnson, Mike Danson will bring you Wiggins taking on the Highland Huskies. That's our first high school football game of the season. Looking forward to it. All right, every week I'm going to give you, I'll give you my local picks in the last segment. We'll break down those matchups for you. But then I'm going to give you one college game that I'm just in love with, one NFL game that I'm just passionate about. And I'm going to give you the picks against the spread. Well, this one to me is interesting. Looking at the Big Ten matchup between Nebraska and Illinois, it's interesting because Nebraska's like under this investigation thing and with Scott Frost. Plus, Nebraska's just a hell of a storyline. They were bringing the savior in, and so far, not so good for Scott Frost. They're projected to make it maybe to a bowl game, according to Athlon Sports, getting 6 wins. Now, Adrian Martinez, the quarterback there for Nebraska, he was like the big story there a couple of years ago. Now, he's still good, but not really a huge name that we're discussing. Of course, we know Luke McCaffrey transferred out, who threw a touchdown and 6 picks last year. They're going up against Illinois. They're only 7-point favorites in this game. I'm not a big buyer of what Nebraska's selling, but I think Illinois is going to be bad this year. So I like Nebraska to win this game and easily cover that 7-point spread. It's Nebraska minus 7. I like them to take care of that easily. So that's my lock of the week, the Nebraska Cornhuskers over Illinois. That game starts a Saturday morning at 11:30. College football rolling tomorrow. You got several Mountain West games to pay attention to. If you're a Rams fan, might be a good idea to take a look. All right, that's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.